Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
I saw Step Brothers for the first time last night.
And?
It's not a movie, really.
It is a movie. It's not, called Step Brothers.
I know, but it's a loosely woven collection of standalone sketches pasted
together.
Okay, all
right, I'm going to stop you right here. I'm not letting you take the phone out of Step Brothers.
No, I'm not saying I didn't laugh. It's not a movie.
Seize your eyes shut, I'm going to punch you square in the face.
Dan, we got to talk about your crossing of streams.
Don't cross the streams. Why? It would be bad.
All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egan.
I spent my entire college education taking the fun out of comedy. I'm not saying I didn't laugh at Step Brothers. It's just not a very good movie.
It's not supposed to be a good movie.
All movies are supposed to be good movies. You don't change your standards for something because it's a comedy.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Never, ever compromise your standards. Ever.
Look at Dan taking the fun out of movies.
I don't know what it is about your face, but I want to deliver one of these right in your suck hole.
Is there anything I can do to work on that?
No, so you not really. It's your face.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. Dark out there, storm coming, rain coming.
Oh, I think the storm's already come and gone.
All rain.
It's supposed to be sunny soon.
That'll be better.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it is the type of day where I like to tell people, this is the type of day where it might be better if you're within like a 50-mile radius to listen to us on 104.3 HD2.
I always listen on that.
That's what I usually choose.
Always.
Because then you can hear the bass in our voices a little bit more clearly.
And it sounds a little bit like NPR.
It does. A little cleaner, a little clearer. And Juvenile's coming up next with the Tiny Desk concert.
Or I could just do Ira Glass, or I could swallow my L's like Mike Krzyzewski. So I could say our chapter 5. Our last episode was now. That would annoy you. It'd make you fall asleep on this rainy day.
You can do Bears.
Yeah, that'd be better. That always sounds good. Whether it's
episode 227.
Yeah,
Bears. Caleb.
Chapter 227. Bears. 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 Bears.
The Bears.
Are you okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. Bears. I think something's wrong with him.
Do the propers.
I was planning on it. That's Ray Diaz. That's Adam Studzinski. We got Brandon Fryer? Tyler Farringle is here for another day.
And we saw Connor.
I did. And Kevin Lapka will come in to spell him a little bit later on in the day. 312-644-6767. That is our number.
and laid out the day for you, including Cubs guests Ian Happ and Joe Girardi. Jason Leisure will talk Bears. We got some NBA stuff after another wild and woolly night.
In fact, Ian NBA Happ will join us in 15 minutes.
All good.
Which is good, but we should talk about his team before that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If we what, six blown saves and their second worst in allowing inherited runners to score?
Yeah.
This is a crisis.
It's been a bit of a struggle here because the starting pitching has been excellent. And obviously you have Justin Steele coming back from injury from day one of the season, so he's not going to be able to give you the type of length. I thought he was very effective, and then you turn it over to the bullpen and – this is what we mean by the Cubs this year struggle to find low leverage situations in which to pitch people.
It's not fair to this starting staff, which is doing historic things. I mean, actual historic things. The run that they're on as a group of major league starters, this should be correlating with more winning.
It should be. They are still, what, ahead on the Pythagorean, though, right?
Correct.
So that's good. And they're going to get reinforcements. One of them was back last night. But the bullpen, it's so difficult to build a bullpen from year to year. It's a living, breathing organism. Guys who you think are going to be good are not going to be good. And you could argue, did the Cubs do enough? Like, did they do enough, and how are they going to go about trying to rebuild this thing? Why don't we hear from Jed Hoyer? Because Jed talked before the game last night about the issues that the Cubs bullpen has had.
We have a long way to go. I think they'll be through all of it. I think all those factors are gonna play a role. I think that I do think getting healthier in the rotation can add to that. I think we can, you know, continue to improve. I think last year the same exact guys struggled for a period, kind of going through May, and then they kind of gelled later in the season and pitched well. So hopefully that can happen. And then obviously we'll be looking for external stuff, but you know that stuff is generally not available this time of year. And so the focus right now is on getting healthy and you know improving guys that might be struggling.
The economics of it as well of you know if a pitcher became available now and going after that now as opposed to maybe later on after seeing what your minor league system could do, maybe does that work in your conversations a lot?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, the fact that there was a big trade in early May, you know, unfortunately for you guys, I don't think that means we get 3 months of trade season. I think it's, you know, I think that was a kind of a rare one-off. My guess is that was discussed in the offseason. There's not a lot of deals available this time of year. So from that standpoint, I still think that, you know, we're in touch, we're on the phone with everybody, but, you know, I think you expect, you know, you have to at least get more into the season for the most part until those things become a reality.
You've talked before just about how bullpens in general can be volatile. When you look at, you know, Merriweather on the IL, Leiter's been used a lot, Advert hasn't been himself. What's the key when you're in your seat right now, especially this time of the year, like weathering those stretches and you know, what helps you kind of get through there big picture-wise?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can just sort of gloss over it ever and just say, hey, it's going to work out. I mean, I think we're constantly, like, trying to figure out ways to make it better, ways to make adjustments. I do think having some experience with that, I mean, I'll use Michael Fulmer as an example that, like, you know, at this time a year ago, it was like, you know, when are you guys going to release him? And then he spent, you know, several months being a dominant guy in the seventh and eighth inning. And guys go up and down in the bullpen. It just happens, you know. And so, you know, my hope is certainly that Advert, you know, kind of rights the ship and gets back to where he was last year. I mean, he was such a good reliever for us last year and obviously hasn't gotten off that start right now, but it doesn't mean he can't turn the page in the way that Michael did. And the flip side happens too. You see a guy get off to a great start in the bullpen and all of a sudden, you know, his year goes south. So there's never a point where I think you get to comfort, almost like with the starting pitching. You know, you're constantly working to make that area better and make it evolve. But yeah, obviously we've given up too many leads so far. There's no secret in that, and we have to figure out ways to fix it.
Jed, you sort of alluded to this, but just back to like the Marlins Padres trade. Yeah. Was your initial reaction like, oh, maybe like things are going to move faster this year? Or are you like calling up the Marlins? Like, what else?
No, I mean, to be honest, I knew that trade was in the works. I mean, I've been in touch with I've been talking to the Marlins, you know, just in general, as we you know, talk to different people. So that wasn't a surprise. But I don't expect that to kick off like a ton of early deals. I think it'll be, you know, maybe be earlier than usual, but it's not going to be all of a sudden in mid-May, everyone's making a bunch of trades. I don't expect that to happen. So,
well, it's an interesting strategy on the part of the Cubs president of baseball operations.
Say, yes,
well,
hope.
Say, well, you know, relievers, sometimes they're bad and sometimes they're good, and maybe they'll just get good. Okay. I'd like something a little more decisive than that.
Yes, his strategy is hope. Hope is not a strategy.
It's the audacity of Cubs hope at this point. You want some numbers about Cubs starters that'll just blow your mind? This is really amazing.
Wait. Before you go into the Cubs starters, I want to keep talking about the bullpen for a second.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he means by just, hey, maybe Adbert will not be bad anymore.
Well, and the part about the Marlins, I think, is more interesting than maybe most people would. Why are you on the phone with the Marlins?
I think he talks to they just talk as a regular.
Sure, but would he say the same thing about, oh, I was talking with the
White Sox?
Well, that's another team that you should be talking to. But I look at it and say, so you got into it so deep that they were telling you about the Arise move. Like, you guys started talking about players. Like, I look at that as...
That went back to last year, he said. That went back to the offseason.
I look at that as maybe he is thinking about doing something a little earlier than just the trade deadline.
I think his job is to make always be aware of what the current landscape is in case he wants to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is absolutely his constant due diligence. Where are we on this? If we were to do this, who'd we be talking about? Here's our list of prospects updated based on our 40-man, etc. But just don't let down these starters anymore. Stop letting down these starters, because this is really remarkable. Rockford News anchor Mike Garrigan does a lot of good stat work. He said, here's the list of MLB pitchers on active rosters with a sub-167 ERA, a sub-105 whip, and zero losses, with some minimums in here. That list is Javier Assad, Shota Imanaga, Jameson Taillon, Hayden Wisniewski. End of list in MLB.
105 Whip sounds like a station that only has Brian Peruke.
105 The Whip.
It's only, he's DJing all 24 hours of the day.
Check this out. The Cubs' current five starters, Assad, Imanaga, Taillon, Wisniewski, and Steele. So this is updated.
Okay.
Have made 21 starts this season. In all 21, they have allowed two or fewer runs.
Pretty good.
That's not earned runs. Two or fewer runs in all 21 starts that have been made by their five current starters. Come on, man. Like, then you start thinking at the end of the year, these six blown saves and what that's going to mean.
Yep.
You can't undo it and say, well, it's internal, nothing, there's no help from outside, and we'll just have to make them better.
Well, they'll hopefully they'll be better.
Okay.
That's what we're hoping on.
Okay.
TMPs.
Be better at stuff?
Maybe. Maybe they're, because of the usage, maybe, but that to me is the biggest problem. They can't find low leverage situations to help get people right.
And you can't do it in sim games. You're not going to do it sending people down or having them compete against Jose Abreu at extended spring training at the instructional complex.
He's hanging out.
I think he is hanging out. That's what they're doing with him. It's like, could you stop being bad?
$20 million per.
What did I say at the time?
You thought it was a bad deal.
Bad deal. I said I liked the first year, and I don't even know if that was any good.
Yeah, I mean, he was worth it late season in playoffs.
Yeah, I'd like to see about how the financials stack up with the war value of all that. Mm-hmm. Not good.
Not good at all.
Ian Happ is waiting the wings. He is going to join us next to talk about the Cubs here with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Swinging a drive down the left field line in the corner. That ball is going to be a grand slam. It's a grand slam for Ian Happ.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
He's a good hitter who gets on base a lot.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Dives and makes a great catch in left center field. Ian Happ with a sensational diving catch.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Put a suggestion box out there and then put one piece of paper in. It says, provide cold brew for the staff.
I think it'd be immediately called out, like, who the hell put this here? And I'd be like, I don't know. That's crazy. You just showed up today.
Not me.
But I think we all like coffee. That sounds like a good idea. Whoever put that in there, good call.
Everybody else in favor?
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day. He's got an insatiable thirst for coffee.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Cubs left fielder Ian Happ on the Bernstein and Holmes show. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com and Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Ian, what's going on?
How are you guys?
Good. How are you feeling up there?
Good. Yeah. A couple of days at home against the Brewers, a little bit better for me. It's been tough. Still getting on base, you know, having some good at bats, but when you're not getting the results, it's just, you're sticking in the process and trying to do the right things over and over. And challenging when you're not driving the ball the way you want, you know, hits are coming, they're singles. You're not getting the doubles and the home runs and some of that, like, production, you know, really frustrating. Last night, got a first inning against Darvish, chance to drive in a run with a guy on third base and less than two outs and striking out in that situation, just things like that that can really frustrate you. And, you know, that's the challenge over the course of the season, is to continue to be in the process and be just doing all of the things right before the game starts, to put yourself in the best position and then go compete when you get out there.
How do you keep yourself from overthinking against Darvish? Because it's like a hungry kid going into an ice cream store and saying, well, there's everything and everything looks good and I could try any. Like, the guy's got nine pitches. How do you look? You're just looking a certain speed in a certain zone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the challenge against him. You know, he has so many different weapons. He can pitch you so many different ways.
7-5-2 relay put out was remarkable. It just not only watching it happen in real time, then seeing everything broken down frame by frame afterwards and considering just the number of things that had to go exactly right. That comes off almost like teaching tape for baseball. Lawrence, I think you called it like a Tommy Mansky drill.
Yeah, it looked like the Tommy Mansky drill. Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah.
It was really something. So from the take us through that from your perspective from the moment the ball left the bat, or maybe from before.
Yeah, I mean, in that that situation, you know, with McNeil up, kind of cold night, playing pretty shallow because that runner on second is the winning run. And JD Martinez isn't a burner. You know, he's not gonna if he hits something right at you, he's not gonna score. But if he hits a blooper, you know, kind of in the right spot, the game's over. So playing a little bit shallow there. He got enough of it to kind of push me back and towards the line. And that throw when you're on the line gets pretty challenging because you're dealing with runner, to get it to the catcher, you know, you're dealing with the runner and it's not a clean kind of lane to throw in. And I kind of got on my back foot and get behind it super well just because of where it was hit. And so, tried to get rid of it as quick as I could. And just get it into Nick and see if he could do something with it. And the way that he turned that around was so impressive. You know, he was a little bit over to give himself a lane to throw home, which was smart. And, you know, super quick relay. He has great hands when he plays second base. His ability to turn double play he's one of the best at it. Like, he's very, very good at that. And so he turned that around really quick, made a good throw. Maya made a great tag. And then we waited forever for the replay to come through.
What's the mentality when you're making a throw home or and making it so that it can either go through or it can be cut? What are the rules there for you?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to throw it. In most situations, you're trying to throw it through the third baseman's head with enough carry that it'll, you know, one hop to the catcher. You know, in that situation, I didn't have enough momentum to make that throw all the way. And there are certain situations, you know, game states where, like in Milwaukee, when I was able to throw the guy out at home to end the game, you know, it's a sac fly situation where with only a runner on third. And so you can, if you throw it over the backstop, it doesn't matter. You know, you give your best effort and plays over once that guy scores or is out. So in that situation with a runner on second base who could potentially be the winning run, you know, making sure that you're making a throw that keeps the ball in play, keeps the ball in the infield. And so he's not running around the bases or getting to third where a wild pitch scores him. So there's all of those little things that come into it and how much, you know, kind of you're thinking about if this, then that. And that when there's more runners on base gets a little bit more complicated, but mainly just trying to throw it through that guy's head.
Okay. I have an offensive suggestion for you, Ian. I've noticed. Well, yeah, a little bit more power too, but thanks. That's not what the suggestion is. The suggestion is I have seen over the last few games, you have tried really hard to explain to the first base umpire, no, this is the route that I usually take when I'm trying to go to second base. I think that you've been making really effective arguments and the umpires haven't been listening to you. Here's my suggestion though. The next time one of those situations come up, I need you to go full Javi. I need you to run back to home plate.
Maybe I should try that. You know, I need to stop hitting dribblers to first base. I think that's the first step of that and just not have that situation anymore. Andy Green, our former bench coach, actually would talk about that play. And he's like, if you hit a dribbler to first, just make a super wide turn like you're going to second. Like, in the rules, you can establish your lane if you're trying to advance the next base. And so when I did it in New York, Andy's actually in the front office with New York now, and he was there at the game and he loved it. But I made a real argument there. I did not make a real argument the other day.
What did the umpire say when you made the argument of like, look, I'm just trying to go to second?
He just said that you were trying to avoid the tag. And then yesterday or a couple of days ago, I tried it and I asked the umpires after the inning. They're just never, the umpire's never going to give that to you, but it is a smart play. Like if you hit that ball and you start rounding early enough, like by the rule book, you should be able to do that. And if the first baseman gets confused enough and just doesn't flip it to first, you actually have a chance. But I don't think an umpire will ever let me get away with that. And I would like to not have to do that for the rest of the season.
I don't know. Agree. I think by position, first baseman may be the most easily confused, perhaps, of any individual baseball position. So it's obviously worth a try. I wanted to get into your mentality about some of this stuff, because there was a play in that series, too. I think you had a hit that was an exit velocity of like 43.9 miles per hour. It was down the third baseline.
Was a bunt.
Well, you had, so somebody said, well, it's a knock, and you got it, and that's great, and you know that. So you know that it registers as a hit. There used to be a time where people would say, well, on the scoreboard, you can't tell the difference between that and a line drive. But now we know better, and you're looking at expected stats. You're looking at expected weighted on base. You're looking at barrel percentage. So over time, like, what's the mentality now? I'm like, hey, I got a hit. I'm not out. I'm safe. I'm here. But also knowing that it does matter. Would you rather have hit a screamer? Just personally, is it better for you to hit a screamer directly at the center fielder at 110 miles an hour and be out?
That's a good question. I think over the course of the year, it's probably, you know, the more hard hit balls that you hit, they would say that you're going to get more hits. But it's game state, it's game situation. It's how you feel against that guy, your past performance against that guy, and how you feel in the box that day. And when, you know, I look down there, a third baseman's playing me, hugging the line and back, it's like, try to get on base here and see if we can, we can start something. And so, you know, that situation, getting that bunt down, getting on base, like a lot of expected stats are important and they matter when it comes to getting a job or all kinds of things. But, you know, there's also the back of the baseball card, and a lot of stuff just matters, the back of the baseball card, the numbers that you put up. So, you know, that was one of the best bunts I've ever put down, and it was nice to get on base there and give us a chance. Didn't work out, but give us a chance.
So Dan and I have been doing this for a really long time. And one of the things that we often will say to each other is that we can't treat Cubs games like Bears games, that we can't come in here and react to every individual Cubs game like it's a Bears game because of the difference in how many games are played. That being said,
and I generally don't throw things at the TV during Cubs games.
True. That being said, this first month of you guys' near first place has been really stressful for us as viewers. I'm wondering, how stressful has it been for you guys?
I mean, we definitely had some nail biters. Definitely had some nail biters, some close wins. You know, but that's part of it. I think you're going to have those stretches throughout the season. I mean, for us to have played as well as we've played, J-Mo starting on the IL.
Steele getting hurt,
Steele going down opening day. Merriweather going down. Belly and Saya going down. Wicks going down. Like, for us to have played as well as we have, to continue to win baseball games, put ourselves in a position where we're, you know, 6 games over .500 at this point is great. And we've played some tough teams, played some playoff teams, and played really well. So, you know, winning helps a lot of that. You know, I've been grinding, going through it, trying to, you know, figure things out and get to a place where I'm driving the baseball and being productive and helping the team. And, you know, when you're winning baseball games through that, it makes things a lot easier.
So tell us behind the scenes, really, how much the players were making their feelings known about the uniforms, because for MLB to come out and say what they've said about essentially Nike more than Fanatics, saying, yeah, we're going to fix this. The names are going to be bigger. The pants are going to be better. It's all like for that kind of mea culpa, there must have been, whether formally grievances filed or not, there had to be enough conversation like, hey, come on, we know something's wrong here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the players were, when we got to spring training and saw the actual product, the players were vocal about it, but the fans were very vocal. And I think that that, to be honest, like that probably drove the decision more than anything else, is the fans, the pushback on social media, the media coverage of it, like Major League Baseball, Nike, nobody wants that to be the what is being talked about. You know, you want the players and the product, and you know, we'll see how jersey sales come in.
That's what I was going to ask, whether or not they saw a dip in sales, perhaps, with all the delays that they had with the City Connects, that maybe everything got a little bit off kilter.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a big part of it. You know, players were vocal, and I'll give Nike credit. You know, they were in the clubhouses in spring training to talk to players to get feedback once everything started. And so, you know, they made an effort to be in there and to get feedback from individuals about the things that we liked about the old jerseys, the things that we don't like about the new jerseys, you know, all of those things. And so they're making an effort to rectify it. And, you know, we knew nothing was going to get done this year. They've already made too many and printed too many jerseys. And it's too long of a process, you know, they're as behind as it is. So for us to be able to have, you know, a different product in 2025, we'll see what that looks like. You know, the names will be bigger. We'll see what the template is, if it is the current template or if it's adjusted. You know, they're going to work on the grays, they're going to work on the fabric to make sure that the sweating isn't coming through. I think you're going to see it pretty in the summer with the product that is they have now. It, you know, guys are going to be sweating through jerseys. You're going to see, you know, hopefully the stitching on the pants gets a little bit more durable so guys aren't blowing out, you know, the whole side of their pants. You know, there's always been rips in pants. That's something that happens, you know, but full side blowouts aren't as typical. So, you know, they're doing everything they can to rectify it. It's going to be a process, and you know, hopefully, you know, fans will be happy with what you know, we have next year.
I know there's a language barrier, but it seems like Shota Imanaga is cool as hell. What do you think of his start to the season? And am I right? Is he cool as hell?
I mean, he's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal. He's obviously an experienced professional pitcher. You know, he controls the game. He doesn't get flustered by much. His ability to, you know, he hasn't given up many runs, but when he has controlled the situations, been able to get right back on it. And his pitch mix plays really well against both sides of the plate. And so super impressive, but he's great. He's great in the clubhouse. He's funny. He loves being a Chicago Cub, and he loves competing at Wrigley with the atmosphere. And it's just been a pleasure to watch. Our entire starting staff has been very, very good. You know, JMO has been fantastic.
Better than very, very good. Historic. And some of the stuff that I did not know of the five primary starters, like the actual starters, in 21 total starts, nobody's given up more than two runs.
Yeah. I mean, it's the reason why we're in the position we're in. You know, the offense has been good at times, struggled at times, which will happen. You know, the bullpen has been really good and struggled. You know, the starting pitching has been very consistent. Those guys have taken the ball. They've gone out, given us quality starts, kept us in baseball games, and given us a chance to win. And that has been awesome. You know, I can't say enough about Assad. Obviously, Steele was great last night. You know, JMO's been fantastic. Shota's been fantastic. And then you have like Ben Brown stepping in and giving us quality starts. Hayden stepping in, giving us quality starts. Like Wixie was great, and we can't wait to get him back. Like the depth and the ability for those guys to go out and give us innings and put us in a position to win baseball games. You know, when you have that day in and day out, it's been great. And, you know, just a bunch of professionals that care about each other and talk about hitters and all that stuff. So it's they've been awesome.
When you see the Brewers rookies have to go get coffee, are you like, bruh, Connect Roasters, fam? You don't have to go across the street. We got you covered.
Yeah, we're going to be in Steingold's across the street. So maybe instead of I don't know where they went to get coffee, but, you know, send them over to Steingold's and have them get Connect next time.
That makes a lot of sense. Ian, thanks as always. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's Ian Happ. Tonight, the Cubs continue their series against the Padres at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage starts at 6:05. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call. First pitch at 6:40. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. He talked about accepting walks is something you can always do, even sometimes when you're missing your pitch.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that because it happened again last night with the preferred result afterwards. We'll explain next here on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
There's a high fly ball deep left field off the bat of Morrell. It's got a chance back toward the wall. Gone. Christopher Morrell, a two-run homer. And the Cubs begin their comeback. It's now 6-2.
And they had a chance there in the eighth with the bases loaded and nobody out, but couldn't push even a single run across, alas. And it was a loss for them at home.
Christopher Morrell walked earlier in the game. So that's 18 walks for him so far this year, halfway to his average total of the last two seasons, which is pretty great. We talked with Sahadev Sharma about how this might mean that we're getting a more selective Christopher Morrell, which means a more dangerous Christopher Morrell, as illustrated by the cut that Studs played coming into the segment.
He's really figured out his zones. The breaking ball away is not as much of a problem as it was last year. There's a little bit of an issue with the fastball in. So if you have guys that have good two-seamers, a righty with a good two-seamer, he's going to get it in on the hands. He needs to either learn to lay off that or foul it off, which he's kind of done, but he's swinging at it, or at least he was swinging it probably too much. But yeah, I mean, he puts the bat on the ball. It's going to go a long way there. I mean, how many games have we seen now where he's hit one out where you're like, no one's hitting a ball out today. He's really impressing me. I'm curious what his ceiling could be offensively. And I know last time we talked about it, the defense was a question. I don't have those same questions. I'm assuming you guys have agree there that those questions have kind of dissipated as far as defensively. But you're right, Lawrence. There's something going on with the offense, the walks. He's really figured out his zones. And I was told in the offseason by a teammate of his, you know, if this guy just learns what to swing at, he could be a superstar offensively.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the conversations with Joe Maddon about Javier Baez, where he would say there was two things. One, if he can lay off the slider low and inside, he becomes Manny Ramirez. Clearly, that has not been the case for Javier Baez. But the other part was, Joe always said that the conversation that he would have with Javi when Javi would get out of sorts and get pull heavy, the conversation he would have would be take walks, that I want you to start thinking about taking walks. Then I want you to start thinking about taking the ball to right field. And once you get that back, like once you are on what the pitches are, then you want to take a big swing and at bat, feel free.
Earn your right to do it.
Correct.
Well, what bothered me and what continues to bother me, disappoint is a better word. What disappoints you at Javier Baez is we've seen him concentrate in a plate appearance. We've seen him go up there with a different kind of intent. He just doesn't do it enough. If you think back to the Yom Kippur miracle, think back to in San Francisco, what he did in that at bat, and I thought strikeout for sure, and how he hung in, because it was time to dial in like that. And it sometimes once you do it, say, this is how I hit now. This is who I am. He never invested in being that version of himself.
Nope.
Which is too bad. And maybe if Morrell does, watch out.
Yes. And the thing is about Javi is where I feel like when he went and joined Detroit, like it clearly like, oh, you're making a play for the biggest contract. So same thing as like Chris Bryant, where you go, sure, you've earned it, but is this the best place for you? And I just think that, like, not that this is a Javier Baez segment, but I think he's just like, screw it. I'm going to try to hit bombs. I've already, like Chris Bryant, I've already got my ring. I'm just going to try and hit bombs in this new place. I'm glad that we're seeing Morrell really take to the idea of, I could be really good. And people are telling him that, and he seems to be listening. Whether it's Craig Counsell or David Ross or Dansby Swanson, he seems to be taking to it, and that makes me really happy. Should be exciting. All right, when we come back, you want to talk Bears?
I do. Our guy Adam Studzinski has unearthed some sound that we have not heard regarding what was going on in the Bears draft room.
Let's do that next here on The Score.
Bears.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.